Welcome to episode 187 of the Hunting Party Podcast. Stealing Yuri's lines for the rest of eternity, I'm Arth from the Warcraft Hunters Union.
And I'm Dark Brew from thebrewhall.com and the Brew Hall on Twitter.
And I'm Alexander from the Hunting Party Podcast.
And today is Saturday, September the 21st, 2013. And if you want to participate in the chat room and have your name read on the air, probably poorly, just create a cool huntery name and type it in the chat box and join in on the phone. And send us some questions for our Q&A section.
Yes, and joining us today in the chat room are the decidedly unhuntery name of All Americans Are Death Knights Inns, Awesome GMA, BM Jager, Changalenga, Elapide, Gobao, Gravity G, Induates, Ligerwolf, Liriana, Morgatho, Oxander, Slugslinger, Warvinny, Zero Miss, and Zathras. I think I got it that time. And
that looks about
our
right.
Lovely moderator, as always, is Alexander, who will rank your questions however she decides. You can send your questions into Ali in a private message by left-clicking her name, selecting PM, then typing in the new tab. Or, say you're not listening live, you can send questions into huntingpartypodcast@gmail.com, and we'll try to get to it on a later show. All right. We don't have a guest today, but we do have some announcements. And there's a couple things that I know we wanted to mention here. Now, last week, of course, was... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're looking at our show notes, of course, and did you want to say the WHU stuff, for the end there, or since it ties into some other...
Yeah, I was gonna do these other two first, and then jump into that. But doesn't matter which way. But the last week's show was Euripides' last show, and we're hoping that we'll be able to coax him into coming back for a reunion episode at some point. However, he won't be a regular host on the show anymore. And one of the things we said is that we might be thinking about bringing on another co-host. And that's still something that we're discussing, but we haven't decided for sure to bring on a new co-host. So I've actually received a couple inquiries about that, about people who might be interested in coming on, and we'll be in touch with you, and certainly if you know anyone else who might be interested, pass them along to us. Right now we're not saying for sure that that's going to happen, but we will keep you guys updated.
Yeah.
And we won't be missing. The goal is not to miss too many shows so that it becomes a real sporadic thing. Whether that's Dark, myself, Ali, or whether it's bringing in guests, or whether it's finding someone who can be a semi-regular co-host. So the end goal is just to make sure that we keep this going and, you know, get the regular rotation of hunter voices on the show that we're used to.
Yeah, and I guess your recommendations don't have to be for a permanent member of the podcast. It could be for someone who you think would make a good guest, and so forth.
Speaking of guests.
Wow, they're lining. They're outside my door already. See you guys. It's a prospective host, I'm sure. Such a lovely. Yeah. 4 years, and we're still like, you know, the definition of like amateur radio, I like that. I think.
Speak for yourself. I don't have friends that just stop by, so I don't really have to worry about people, ringing my doorbell. I'm sure I jinxed myself now, you know, the UPS man or something. But I don't think it's happened to me. But I think I've just been lucky with it. Speaking of past shows, the episode 100. Post show is now on YouTube. We're on, what was today? 187. So
yeah, we're on
187.
So yes, we've been promising this. We've been promising to deliver you the episode 100 post show ever since we recorded episode 100. In fact, I actually, it is on YouTube. We're not going to push it to iTunes just because of all the cursing and stuff.
Yeah,
it's a long post show. It is over, it's about just over 2 hours. I actually listened to it again. just to.
I made it through about 20 minutes this morning, and I'm gonna have to do it in chunks because I don't know if I can, you know, just listen to Frost's ego and getting progressively drunker and more shenanigan-ish.
It was better to listen to that than I thought it would be, and I, you know, much of it came back to me. I did remember most of the things that happened. I'd forgotten that there's one. Moment in there right before we actually go to a break where Frost literally falls out of his chair.
Yeah.
So
in your defense, Dark, at the time you were playing the drinking game live, so...
Yes, we were.
You don't actually remember it very well.
Right, yeah. Yuri and Dark traveled to Frostheim's place? Is that how...
We got together in person. Unfortunately, Allie couldn't join us there. That would the only thing that would have made it, like, you know, to the absolute perfect event. But yeah, so Yuri and I flew out to Minnesota, and we went to the Geek House where Frostheim was living, and we recorded the show in his little studio. I wouldn't call it a studio, but his little computer room there. And yeah, it was a beautiful weather day, and we broadcast really for like four to five hours. I want to say,
wow,
it was a good event. That was the only time we've ever met face to face like that.
No, and there was a lot of. I've never actually met you or Yuri or Ali face to face, but I have met Frost a couple times at the old barbecues. So it sounds like it was a great time. So if you're interested, or if you're, you know, a big fan of the show or been listening for a while, that might be worth a look.
Yeah, and like I said, one of the things I plan to do at some point too is to eventually get all the episodes up on YouTube. But that is a multi-month process. It takes a while. It's just a lot of the rendering and things and just the uploading that takes a while. Like this took several hours just to hit a button and say, make me a video here.
So. Yeah, some of the YouTube stuff. But it's certainly a convenient place to keep all of them. So with any luck, we'll be able to do something similar for episode 200. But that's still a little ways off, so we'll talk about that more as it gets closer. And the last announcement that we had before we get into some of the, say, 5.4 news is an update on the Hunter Community Expansion Revamp project. Now, the first article in that project came out. It was on aspect redesign for Hunters. I got a lot of feedback. Now, the initial article wasn't all me. It was, even the initial draft of it was a lot of ideas that I had culled together from listening to Hunters over a long period of time on this. So it wasn't necessarily me saying, here's how I want it, but here's a lot of ideas that Hunters seem to be able to get behind. Now, again, a lot of these are polarizing. Some Hunters want something, some don't. There's a lot of differing opinions, but I do try to boil it down, and I have a section in the article called Least Common Denominator, or Lowest Common Denominator, and that's just sort of, here's a statement that I think a vast majority of Hunters can get behind. You're never going to have 100% agreement on stuff, but here's what we can get behind now. With this premise, let's move forward and see if we can get Blizzard to listen to us and maybe implement some of this. Monday or Tuesday, the second one of these is going to be coming out on spec differentiation, which is something that's been talked about by Blizzard. So I think it's going to be... Now, I do actually want to jump down here because there's a...
Let's talk about the blue right. Post that we're going, because I was going to say, round two with spec differentiation, if you want to participate in, and I think have a real legitimate shot at making a difference to the class, that would be the one to really focus on and look at, because that is something that they have acknowledged as being an issue, that the specs don't feel unique or different enough, and I would anticipate them trying to address that in the next expansion. I would be shocked if they didn't do that, to be honest with you. But
right, and I think we can help influence that a little bit, even though we're already definitely going to see some changes there from Blizzard. But they did. There was a blue post here. I think it was. It looks like a tweet. But someone asked, why don't Hunter aspects add personal utility? And then it gave a few examples of what that might be. And the blue post was, it's an idea that sounds better on paper. Many grew annoyed at having to twist aspects frequently for situational benefit. So I read this, and this was earlier today, right after the HCERP aspect article. I will say there's good and bad news here. The bad news is that aspects might be something that are just going the way of the dodo. this might be one of the things that we're focusing on in the project that doesn't end up coming to fruition. The good news is not all of these things that we're talking about are going to be such an uphill battle, like spec differentiation, something that Blizzard's already on board with. So I still think it's worth talking about some of these things if we think it's something that can be revamped in a positive way, but some of them will be more likely than others.
Yeah, and I think they've also...
Oh.
Ghostcrawler, I think, stated at 1.2. There was that one tweet, I think, as well, where he did the hashtag not an announcement, but I think it had basically said, hey, wouldn't be upset to see aspects go away, is essentially what he said. Right. My feeling is they're gone, that they're done with them. They're not going to try and revamp them. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, because I think there's some benefits to them. There's something that kind of was unique, I guess, to the Hunter class, helped define the Hunter, and they didn't seem out of context either, you know what I mean, the aspects that they gave us.
Now, I do think we address one of the issues that they're talking about here. Okay, many grew annoyed at having to twist aspects frequently. Let's just look right there. So, one of the things that we talk about in the article that I've had conversations with Hunters with is, okay, Blizzard doesn't want us aspect dancing. Let's find a solution to this. They don't want us jumping back and forth between 3 and 4 different things and having to manage this constantly throughout a fight. So how do we fix that? So we have 2 potential solutions right now. It doesn't mean those are the only 2, but I think it would help this a little bit and make it more manageable, less annoying, and something that Blizzard wouldn't mind implementing. One is lock us into an aspect once combat starts, which that's sort of the extreme solution, but it does solve the problem. And the other is putting a much longer cooldown on aspects, so we're not jumping back and forth all the time. You know, people were macroing them into certain shots.
Yeah, Yuri used to do that.
Right, that's what Blizzard wants to avoid. So I don't know what an appropriate cooldown would be, 10 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute, but any of those would prevent us from doing things like that. So say it's 30 seconds. You might switch to an aspect of the damage reduction for a heavy raid damage phase and then switch back to your DPS aspect, and that would be it. It's a relatively minor switch. It's not something you're constantly managing, and I think it solves the problem of aspect dancing that Blizzard really hated. I tend to agree with them on that, but I don't think getting rid of aspects is the right answer.
Yeah, and what you might see is some of the ideas that you're proposing for aspects. Maybe things that are given to hunters, but might not be in the form of aspects. May end up being too.
Yeah.
So we may get some of those things given to us, but not through this mechanism.
I mean, yeah.
And there's lots of ways that they can do things now, whether they're actual abilities that they give us, talents, and
glyphs.
And glyphs. I mean, those are 3 avenues for.
They could bring back ammo and put some of this into ammo. You know, obviously we don't want all of these things in every different form. So, yeah, maybe they bake this into abilities. Maybe they have them in glyphs. Or maybe they do the reverse and they say, holy crap, look at this button bloat. We don't want all these abilities for hunters. And they move some of them to, say, aspects or glyphs instead. So there are options here. That's actually something in the HCRP that I'm going to talk about later on when I'm sort of wrapping up all of this stuff, is that some of these can be generalized. Some of these ideas that we'd like to see, it's more about creating meaningful choice and meaningful utility. So you don't necessarily have to implement it in one single way, as long as we get it in some form. So if we make recommendations on, say, hey, you want to bring ammo back, which I think is even a longer shot, but I might mention it in passing. But if they did something like that, I wouldn't expect to see aspects be so robust, or vice versa, because there's such a thing as too much choice and too much craziness with all this stuff.
Yeah, and the choice is always a hard thing, right? Because you want the choice to be meaningful, but you don't want it to be... have it be in a situation where there's always such an obvious choice and then you just do one thing. But you don't want to make it so agonizingly tough that you're just like frozen at the keyboard trying to go, do I do this or I do that? You know what I mean? They're so equal and so beneficial that you just don't know what to do.
Right. Yeah. So I think we're trying to anticipate some of the problems that Blizzard's talking about and provide relevant solutions to them, but it doesn't mean that this stuff's necessarily going to happen. I will say, I kind of want to go for broke on some of this. I asked in my most recent article, I kind of had a general question to everyone. It's like, hey, do you want to finish this before BlizzCon and try to promote it for that? Like, or will it get drowned in all of the announcements surrounding BlizzCon? And I think it might actually be cool to like finish this a week before BlizzCon, try to disseminate it through the community, try to, you know, make sure the developers are aware of it the week before BlizzCon, so that, like, who knows, maybe it comes up in discussions there or something. That's, I don't, to be clear, I don't think a lot of this is likely, but I also don't think that's a reason to stop trying.
I think doing it before BlizzCon is a good idea, because, I mean, BlizzCon's going to be more than, it's usually more than just an announcement of the expansion. They usually have class information, class panels, so they which means they'll start to go over some of their ideas and concepts that they have for Hunters.
Mm-hmm. So honestly, it might be something where I push it like the next couple weeks, so by like mid-October we're kind of wrapping it up.
Yeah, and I mean, it'd be good to see that, make that comparison too. It's like, well, here's what we're, the community is thinking we want, and you kind of compare that with the direction that Blizzard is actually going. You can kind of see where the gaps are and see how far apart we are, and if we're even close to being on the same page.
Yeah, right. I think the next two that I'm going to be coming out with are spec differentiation and miscellaneous things. So that'll sort of be a grab bag of, you know, what do we want to see for Hunters? We want to be able to rebuild the Stone Rot Dam, or we want or we want Michelle Morrow to play Sylvanas. So it could be anything and everything, mostly related to the Hunter class. So just little stuff like that. I'll probably mention Frost's pet collars in that one, you know.
The pet collars, that's right. I forgot all about those. We thought those were dead and buried, I guess.
Right. Well, I don't think they, you know, you can't really bury something that was never alive, but
this is true.
I always thought it was a cool idea. So even if it's just sort of an aesthetic thing, so just sort of a miscellaneous grab bag of things that may or may not. It'll be a little bit more tongue in cheek than the others, but there might be some serious recommendations.
There's always good things people want, like, you know, being able to tame our own mounts is something that people have thought would be kind of cool. I think that'd be a neat thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think a lot of this would be. A lot of those things would be really cool. There's a couple others that I've heard from some of you guys on the podcast at various times that I'm gonna. I've been writing down when I think of them. And so there'll be some good stuff, and I'm sure people have all kinds of unique ideas as well. So those are the next two that are coming out. And beyond that, I don't know exactly which one, but we have a few more, at least after that, that'll be coming out to talk about.
Yeah, maybe something on pets per se. But I mean, pets are, I think, are in a. Have come a long way since vanilla.
Yeah,
really evolved, and I think they're in a very good place. I mean, I don't know what else you can really do with pet. You can.
Yeah, I want to do a pet one, but at the same time, like, unless I have a really compelling reason to make the article, and I don't know that there's any one thing that the community's been like, we need this to happen for pets. I haven't been able to identify that, so I'm kind of up in the air on a couple ideas like a pet article.
I mean, the only thing I could think of that you might tweak here would be changing the way exotic pets work, and maybe not make it skin based, but maybe make it, if you're BM, all pets you get extra ability or something like that. I mean, but I don't know that there's a reason to change exotic pets. I think the only issue with exotic pets is that they have some buffs and abilities that no other pets have, and they have to be BM to bring some of those things. So the solution there is to just make all the buffs and utility available for every spec, and then you could still keep exotic pets in the game with the spirit beasts and unique things like that for BM only.
Right. And chat room, if you're looking for something to send in today to us, you can send us ideas for this stuff. You know, just random ideas for Hunter class things, or maybe you have ideas about spec differentiation that you want to be heard. So even if we don't read it on air, Ollie does a good job of getting them to the show notes. So I'll be reading them and taking them into consideration for when we do all this stuff. So I think that's it on the HCERP right now. One, if we have a name for the next expansion coming out of BlizzCon, I may change the name of it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard really much in the way of rumors. I think people have been speculating that it's going to be something related to the Burning Legion again.
Which would be awesome. Yeah. We'll see.
We haven't seen them since Burning Crusade, correct, for the most part. So, yeah, I think they're due for a comeback and closing that story out, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they might expand on whatever it is that Deathwing's son is, you know, alluding to in the Legendary Quest. So there's obviously some stuff going on with him that we haven't been told in terms of the larger story, I think.
But, well, I hope to find that out. I don't have the Legendary yet, and I've been so far behind with this expansion. I just haven't played much this expansion. 5.1, 5.2, 5.3, really didn't play all that much, and now I'm kind of getting back into it with 5.4, and I'm enjoying it. But I do regret not having progressed on the Legendary, and I think I'll get it before the next expansion, but... Yeah,
by all accounts, the cloak is badass. I don't have it yet, but I'm actually not too far away from it, so...
But so many people, you know, seeing everybody running around with it, they get to kill that extra boss, I'm like, oh, gosh, and I'm grinding out. I'm on Chapter 3, I guess, whatever the one that gives you the meta gem, so that's the part I'm on. So I'm getting my rep to Exalted, which that's actually pretty easy. It's just a matter of getting the drops now, the Secrets of the Empire drops. That's what I need to... That's what I'm working on.
Yeah. Okay.
And they have put in a catch-up mechanism, which is say you can do LFR, and these things will drop in the new Siege of Orgrimmar, LFR, Flex, Normal, and the Throne of Thunder LFRs will drop these things too. So there are opportunities to more opportunities to get these things, but it does take time. And you know, LFR is just not the most fun thing you could do.
Right. I'm looking for headaches.
Just to theorize a little bit longer about what the next expansion will be.
Yes.
Okay.
They've been adding new villains, sort of like building them up a little bit this time, like Megath the Grim Totem. And she's not like a top tier villain yet, but we did give her some object of great power, and she could, if Bane wasn't around, be leading the Tauren. She would make a good war chief, for one thing. So, I mean, there's lots of things that they could do besides the Burning Legion, but I do like the Burning Legion.
That is heavier into the lore than I usually go, but that's an interesting take. But they always seem to find little ways to. There have been things that they brought up in the past that show up in the next expansion or a little bit later, even if it's just another patch in the same expansion. Something leads into something else. So they do a good job of building the lore like that. It seems to progress in a pretty natural way. So I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that, Ellie.
Although I think we're due for maybe a little bit more Alliance-centric story, or at least the Alliance is probably due for some turmoil. Kind of like with the Horde. I mean, the Horde has been turned upside down these last couple of
expansions. The Alliance is due for extermination.
To be fair, the Alliance has been in need of a really good storyline for a really long time. I mean, your king, your dwarven king, gets turned to diamond and kind of forgotten, like stuffed down in the cave, and you go see him once a year.
Yeah, I know. They need to resolve that. I mean, maybe is it time to have a... I mean, you know, how close is Anduin, you know, ready to become a, you know, king, and you know, we in for sort of that type of story where we see that big change.
They did build him up in Mist of Pandaria. I'm sure they're going to be doing more with him.
Yeah, I agree.
But there's not a whole lot of Alliance leaders that they can do anything with, because a lot of them are neutral. They're like druids and Cenarian Circle and things like that, so they don't
or gnomes, like, you know, people are like, and half the people probably don't even realize there's like a leader for the gnomes and stuff, you know, so it's like a
so yeah, but they need more new villains, because we're running out of the old ones. We keep killing them.
Yeah, you don't want to keep bringing everyone back. Like, I wouldn't mind to seeing the Burning Legion return, but they can't just start recycling everything. Oh, look, there's a new Lich King now.
Yeah, exactly. We did get a new Lich King, although I don't think we'll ever
see another. Right, you know? Yeah, exactly. Like,
well,
that storyline feels done, though. If they brought it back, it would be like, really? Really? So,
right, it'd be like the second Death Star.
Right, as good as it was when it happened last time. So, you want to jump into some 5.4 stuff?
Yeah, we can talk about it. Yeah, I mean, it's been out, what, 2 weeks now? So we can talk a little bit about that. I think people would like to get some impressions on that and
yeah,
and so forth.
Now, I did try to collect what we knew from theory crafting on the WHU.
Yes, that was a very good post. I read that. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what we knew going into it, but then the numbers coming out so far since 5.4 has dropped seem to confirm everything. So whether it's optimizing with best-in-slot gear or usually with, it can vary a little bit depending on your gear, but which spec you should be and what you should be reforging for, that sort of thing, and where the top parses are coming out. The one thing in that article that I don't think I was quite strong enough on is, so when I talked about which spec should you be bringing to be, whatever you want is the first answer, but the second answer is Beastmaster and possibly Survival for certain fights. The top parses on literally every fight are coming from Beastmaster. However, on that's with, you know, we're talking higher levels of gear, the people who are really doing the progression rating and running World of Logs and stuff like that. Survival is not too far behind on specific encounters, and a lot of people are seeing better results in Survival because it's a little bit friendlier for some of the fights, whereas the management with your pets and your DPS in Beastmaster is harder on particular fights. However, Beastmaster is almost universally testing as higher than even Survival on most fights, but many hunters will be seeing results in Survival that are comparable or slightly better on the multi-dot or multi-target fights.
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's usually where, you know, Survival kind of stands out is
right.
Is on a heavy AoE fighter, big ad. I mean, like I said, Beast Cleave was
been it's a lot better though. Yeah, it's a lot better.
It's not like BM can't do AoE, and it depends on, you know, other things that you choose. Or you know, if you choose a Lynx Rush talent, perhaps for some situations, and you know, whatever you do for your other, whether it's Glaive Toss or Barrage, I guess, are your two other AoE options for the most part.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like this also is sort of Exhibit A for spec differentiation, because this expansion was maybe, at least at one point, the closest the three hunter specs have been, and yet everyone's flocking to usually just Beastmaster, sometimes Beastmaster and Survival, and Marksman hasn't really been viable for an entire expansion. So if the best we're ever going to get is two specs that hunters want to be bringing, why not make that third one something radically different? You know, what that is up for debate, but I think this sort of thing right now is Exhibit A for why we need more differentiation between the specs and why they need to do different things.
Yeah, they do, because it really needs to be sort of play style driven, maybe even, I don't know, role driven or something. Something, but, you know, like I said, if there's just, there's no way that you can make them 100% equal in terms of their DPS. So as long as you even have the slightest differentiation, mm-hmm. you know, the instinct is to choose the one that does the most and just stick with that. Although,
now, when I say Beastmaster and Survival, I am talking PvE.
Yes.
I haven't looked into PvP stuff too much yet. I suspect that there's probably some more marksman hunters than there was. I don't know that there'll be an exodus from Beastmaster. However, we'll probably see some marksman hunters because they do have the superior interrupt/silence that the other two don't now because they have exclusive rights to silencing shot. So that, I think, will influence some PvPers, but I'm guessing we're going to see Beastmaster as the universal best spec in PvP as well right now.
Yeah, and counter shot's pretty nice. That's a pretty handy. And by the way, I don't know if they... I didn't realize this until after 5.4 dropped, but they really almost... They pretty much had to give us a baseline interrupt once they made silencing shot marksman only, because I went out and decided I'd finally go and get the three new spirit beasts, the porcupines,
uh-huh.
and one of them, the green one, and I've forgotten, Hushia, I guess, you have to interrupt her as you're kiting and taming her, or otherwise, because she's got a heal that she casts, and if you don't interrupt it, she heals up, so
sure.
Without silencing shot, you know, we would not have been able to tame that one.
Right, right.
Without and some help.
I've seen some anecdotal evidence and stories that Countershot's coming in handy in raids as well, where hunters are still being able to utilize it. So it, I think the changes there with silencing and Countershot and some of the rearranging that they did, I think it did what Blizzard intended it to do, to be honest. So I think overall we're going to see that that's a positive change for hunters, where we're not losing too much, but it still grants specific advantages to, in this case, marksmen that they want.
Yeah, and in PvE, an interrupt is usually what you need. You don't necessarily need the silence aspect of it.
Yep, absolutely. So it... Yes, we don't have a ton of data coming out of 5.4 yet, but it's growing steadily.
It seems like hunters are in a better place, though. I feel like I'm doing a little bit more damage than what I was. I mean, part of that, I finally... First LFR for Siege of Orgrimmar, I got a ranged weapon drop, so that was good. I was using the... I had the bow, LFR bow, out of Moshugan Vaults, which was, you know, the first tier, so...
Yeah, yeah.
This was a pretty good upgrade off the bat, so that certainly... Certainly helps.
Yeah, no kidding.
But I've seen hunters in general hovering closer to the top, at least some of the groups I've gone with, and I've done LFR and I've done both wings of the Flex raid with you know, members of some of the couple of the better raiding guilds on my realm. So I'm in there with raiders, I guess, and I see, you know, not the only hunter, and I see the hunters starting to creep up a little higher.
Yeah, I didn't. Most of what I was doing was either Female Dwarf, Ask Mr. Robot, or World of Logs, and I didn't go deep enough into World of Logs to really do a comparison with hunters and other classes, especially compared to 5.3. So the only evidence I have is a lot of individual stories of, yes, I'm doing better in my raid, or I feel like I'm definitely doing more DPS, or I feel like I'm doing more DPS, or I'm beating more people, and I'm able to compete. So there's a lot of anecdotal evidence to suggest that, yes, we are doing better, similar to what you've experienced. We don't have the raw data to back that up empirically just yet, but again, I think it's safe to say that we got a slight bump compared to where we were previously.
Yeah, I completely agree, and we'll, you know, as people get better gear, well, it'll be interesting to see how the numbers all shake out. I mean, the raids themselves, this looks a pretty decent raid. It feels easier than Throne of Thunder, at least initially.
Hmm.
And I think my sense is the overall progression is people are moving through this, the normal modes, at least even the normal modes, a little bit faster than what the progression was. I haven't really heard from anyone really, you know, saying they think it's easier. But I mean, even the heroic progression, we're just looking at that today. When someone in the chat room had updated that Method is now in the lead with 12 of 14. At the time I put the notes together, they were tied with like 9 other 25-man guilds at 11 of 14 in heroic. So I mean, you know, they're, and we know those guys clear it pretty fast. But that's, you know, they're almost done, and it's been, you know. We're in the second week of this expansion.
So right.
Second lockout. This is the first opportunity they've had to do the heroics, and it looks like they're close to closing it out. Now, maybe, you know, the last two bosses will be a 2-3 week deal for them to clear, but the pace is pretty fast.
And this is heroic, of course. There were a couple, like Method, I think a lot of people know as a progression rate, you know, one of the top progression rating guilds, Paragon, of course. So there was a couple names. I don't recognize all the names of the guilds that are close to completion right now in 25-man or 10-man heroic, but yeah, there's a fair number that are right there at 10 or 11 and are sort of fighting for the last few.
Yeah, and even some of the folks, you know, I've heard people talk in during the raids and saying that, you know, certain bosses, you know, fairly deep into the dungeon are not that difficult yet, so I don't know if they intentionally made it easier. It just sort of feels like I don't know if they're trying to hurry this patch along, but I'm wondering if the next expansion, they're maybe trying to get it up sooner than later after they announce it. That maybe they'll announce it at BlizzCon, and beta might ramp up, you know, shortly after that. And then maybe, you know, if I had to speculate, maybe they're shooting for like a springtime. I mean, release dates aren't nearly as important now as what I think they used to be. I mean, it just seemed to me you don't need that big holiday release, right? Yeah. You're not looking for the holiday money. You've got a built-in audience. It's a mature game. you know who your players are. They're going to buy the expansion no matter when it comes out.
That's true. Yeah, and you can download most of it before it comes out.
Exactly.
At this point.
Exactly.
So they've made it ridiculously easy. What was I going to say? Oh, they've been moving stuff more quickly, this whole expansion, and in Kata to a certain extent too, compared to earlier, compared to Vanilla, BC, Wrath, things came out a little bit quicker, and I think we've never seen the major patches come out as quickly as we have this expansion. And even things like being able to get your legendary item on day one of the last patch, that's pretty much unheard of, and that's the first that we've been able to do this. So there was thousands of people running around with a legendary cloak the day 5.4 dropped, and that's cool. That's what Blizzard wanted, but it all serves to sort of push things forward a little bit more quickly than what we have in the past. I remember there was, obviously they haven't made set a release date for the next expansion, but ICC, Ice Crown Citadel, was endgame for over a year.
Yeah, it was out for a long, long time.
That patch, you know, not just that expansion. We were raiding ICC for over a year. That's unheard of right now with the pace we've been going at. So this might be the longest patch there is in Mists of Pandaria because it's easier to come out with a major patch than a major expansion. However, I don't think we'll ever see a length like that again.
No, and I don't remember how long Deathwing... Well, Deathwing came out again, I want to say.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how long.
December time frame, and then, mm-hmm. you know, by September, we had Mists of Pandaria. So, you know, it was not short. I mean, you're talking about almost... Sure. 8 or 9 months, perhaps.
Shorter. Shorter
by about 3 to 4 months, almost.
Right. I think it was about 13 months for ICC.
So I agree. And the way this seems to be designed, it looks like their players are going to clear this sooner than later.
Right.
You know, we may see, you know, and hopefully they don't do it, which would seem to me that if it is set up that way, then they might try and get the next expansion out, like I said, in a shorter time frame than what we've seen before. We know there's going to be another minor content patch, no new raid or anything like that, but they're going to have that transition patch into advanced story and so forth into the next expansion. I suspect they would also make the Siege of Orgrimmar, you know, the whole thing minus the heroic cross realm, so you can do normal modes via open raid and so forth, and you know, it just starts to become that one big fire sale where they're closing up shop and giving everybody a chance to see everything, get everything before they release the next expansion.
As opposed to like the original Naxxramas, which, you know, the five people who saw that are still playing can tell stories about it, and the rest of us are like, huh, that existed? So, yeah, this is definitely a different model. Chiamet just said Deathwing was 8 months.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'd say 8 months seems...
That's what we estimated, but thanks for confirming that. And so the other thing that I noticed when I was gathering info on 5.4 is that apparently Deterrence is the most useful non-DPS ability in our toolbox, at least for this patch, because on the rating tips that I posted that were being collected sort of in the MMO champion community, honest to God, like two-thirds of the bosses, there is at least one ability during the fight that you can avoid using deterrence. So if you make intelligent use of your deterrence, you're going to be able to do a lot, avoid a lot of mechanics or damage that other classes might not. So it's really becoming a useful secondary ability for us in raiding. I think there have always been instances where we've been able to use it. Hey, you can avoid this by clicking deterrence during, you know, this damage or this ability, but I've never seen this much in a single raid that it's able to do. So be looking for opportunities to use it.
Yeah, you should definitely have that on your hot bar somewhere and you know, hotkeyed so you can...
I think most hunters do already, but like I said, I've just never seen it to this extent where you're able to do so much with it in a tier.
Yeah, almost every boss fight you had that, and sometimes for some of them that was really like the only really hunter-specific tip was deterrence useful against this, deterrent blocks this, it prevents this. Yep.
Yeah. So there's some things where among those tips where Binding Shot can come in handy, or specific abilities, like if you take Link's Rush, it can line up with a particular increased damage phase because of the length of the cooldown, so it's more useful than some of the others. So there's some good tips in there that the community's been able to round up collectively, and I included as many as I could there on the WHU post for people that are jumping into it, because of course most of us aren't in method, so we're still, you know, we're still working through this stuff and will be for a while now.
Yeah, speaking of jumping into it, the disengage, being able to use that out of combat is just so nice. I mean, I think people are starting to realize that and figure that out, that there's lots of different things you can do. We kind of always knew it from past experience when it was like that, but now we're sort of like, oh yeah, I can jump off this mountain and live by hitting disengage right before I land.
That's pretty fun. Cool. So, and I told a story a while ago of how I was able to do that, but I was still in combat, so it was a very specific instance. I'd used readiness to get it back again because I had actually disengaged off the cliff, but I was still in combat, so I was able to save myself. But now you can do stuff like that without all those special circumstances. But yeah, for things like, you know, just base jumping, and there's lots of fun to be had with it.
Yep, and as, I don't think Banya's here with us, as she pointed out too, she was absolutely right. If you do the gardening too, and you get those weeds that you need to kind of run away, and you can just do a disengage and pop them right out.
Yep, absolutely. So we did have a few hot fixes that came in. So if you've experienced any of these, they should be fixed. Deterrence should now correctly have a 5-second cooldown after using a charge for hunters with Crouching Tiger Hidden Chimera talent. So I guess that was a little bugged. Link's Rush should now correctly apply its bleed effect against very large targets. I didn't hear of anyone experiencing that, but I guess on specific targets it might have been an issue.
Yeah, I don't know. That was kind of very, very situational one, obviously.
Right. And lastly, Dire Beast should no longer summon snakes that were larger than usual on the Timeless Isle.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, I experienced that one.
I didn't see that one either, but I kind of wish I did.
Yeah, well, the way Dire Beast works, of course, is it looks at the zone that you're in and will summon a creature that's, you know, appropriate for that particular zone.
Yeah.
So,
and we've seen this before. They've done things like that in the past where you can only get a certain pet in certain areas. Mm-hmm.
So the Timeless Isle has some elite pythons, I guess, and they're pretty big. So it was basically summoning them. So one of the Dire Beasts was one of those pythons.
And it
was
I know what you're talking about, and I really wish I could have seen that because I would have freaked out.
But and that's confusing too, because you're like, you know, you'll see that thing by your side, like, oh gosh, did I just pull another one here? Or no, you realize no, that's just your Dire Beast.
Yeah, and for the most part, after you're hit capped and expertise capped, which for most people you're just going to be reforging out of it with all the, you know, with most of our gear. I don't know if it's any easier with the 5.4 gear, but it shouldn't be hard to get to those caps. The general order is crit greater than haste greater than mastery, with certain exceptions. For haste, if your latency is very low and you have specific gear, but for the most part, the general recommendation is crit, haste, mastery.
Yeah, it's interesting because I went and decided I'd give the Ask Mr. Robot add-on a try, and I just used everything out of the box and just to see what kind of recommendations it would give me and whether I thought I would try following them. But it really, you know, at least for my BM spec, recommended haste, lot of haste. Yeah,
Okay. I think when I ran it last, it was it might have been with my specific, you know, whether it was a gear thing or I was also running it in survival. For the most part, crits coming out, crits coming out ahead, but it is damn close to the extent that you're probably, it's going to fade into RNG. So if you're reforging for haste, you're going to be fine. You're not really missing out on DPS that's going to be noticeable by anyone, even on extended target dummy sessions. So that's the good news. It may come out, and one of the things I did say in that same section is I'd encourage you to run your own female dwarf simulations. Check for yourself.
Yep.
You know, test at the target dummies if you think you're going to see a difference, to try and determine which one's going to be right for you, because everyone knows their situation a little bit better. You know how much you button spam, and you know how many casts you might be missing in a fight, or how much latency affects you. So all this goes into that decision. And if you're really at that level of trying to min-max everything, do your own calculations. Don't just listen to, well, do this, because this is sort of the general recommendation, whereas if you want to get more nuanced, it might be one or the other.
Yeah, it's a very nice add-on, by the way. I mean, it interacts with their site. One of the features, their best in bags requires a subscription, although they'll let you use it free for a week, but that will look at everything in your bags and in your bank and then make recommendations, which that actually helped me out, because I forgot I had gotten a couple drops and had a chess piece that was a higher level than what I was actually wearing, and it found it in my bags and said, hey, you might want to do this combination instead. So it was good there. It puts together a shopping list for you, and then it's got the one-button reforge, which is really cool. And maybe all the reforge add-ons do that. I don't know, but this was, you know, when it was time to reforge, and if you liked its suggestions, just go to the reforger and hit that button, and it does it all for you.
Yeah, it's really handy. I would recommend it to pretty much anyone who's looking to make sure that they're doing everything they need, at least on a base level for, you know, gems, gear, enchants, that sort of thing. It's really grown in the last few months even. And then there's the tier bonuses, which are a little bit more weird than we're used to. It's not just sort of a damage proc, but apparently the four piece is testing a bit higher for survival than the other specs. So say you're close with survival and BM on some fights and you end up getting your four piece eventually, that might push survival up a little bit more. And then the only real trinket that has stood out to me is this Assurance of Consequence, which is really a Beastmaster trinket, because it reduces big cooldowns on a lot of different abilities,
right,
including, most importantly, Bestial Wrath. And I think Zahara mentioned this a couple weeks ago when we talked to her. And that's one that, and if you're raiding, you're probably Beastmaster, at least at some point, for the single target fights, and or largely single target fights. So that's definitely a trinket that you'll probably want to target and use when you're in Beastmaster. And there's even a couple fights, like I know General Nazgrim, when you have that, your stampedes can line up with phases where the boss takes more damage. So it really helps.
Oh, that's nice, yeah. Cause,
on fights like that, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, he has like a phase where you don't DPS him, and one where you go all out. And
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so that would be nice.
Yeah, that's a nice benefit of that trinket that probably we didn't see coming initially, but then someone figured it out and shared it with the community. But yeah, that's definitely a cool trinket, especially if you're running mostly Beastmaster, to target and try to make the most out of with your DPS. So it decreases some other cooldowns, and it does help all specs, so it's not a bad trinket for survival and marksman, but it's certainly a better trinket for Beastmaster.
Yeah, and it drops off Shaw Pride, which is like the fourth boss in the instance. So I mean, it's you should, you know, have plenty of opportunities to run across it. So it's already available in LFR, Flex, Normal, Heroic. I mean, it's, you know, so it's something you can pick up very early on in this tier, which is good.
Yep, yeah, that's, and people love their trinkets, so I wanted to bring that up, because that to me seems like the most fun one of this tier of content. There have been awesome trinkets in the past that everybody wants, and either are just so much better than all the others, or are more interesting, and I think that's the one that stands out to me as the most interesting in this tier.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. You know, and it's nice to see them do cool cool sort of procs and effects off those trinkets rather than just, oh, here's a crit buff, here's a, yeah. you know, a damage percent, or here's a bunch more agility. Although we like more agility. I do like, you know, those that give us
yes,
more agility.
Yes, yeah, but. Of course. And yeah, I don't know if this is like an OP trinket like we've seen in some other. It's I don't want to jump out and say it's Deathbringer's Will because it probably isn't. Deathbringer's Will, of course, was the trinket that dropped off of an ICC boss that was just heads and tails above anything else at the same eye level, and a lot of different hunters. Even people would run to get it for PvP, and that was the only piece that they that was the only thing that they wanted.
Yeah, that was a nice trinket. You know, it transformed you into, you know, different. What was it, like an Iron Dwarf, a Tonka, and I can't remember. Oh, and like some sort of Vikrule, and then each one of those had different.
Yeah, it never dropped for me, so I didn't get to see the animation that often. I was never lucky enough to have it, but I actually maintain that for its eye level, the most powerful hunter trinket ever in the history of the game was the eye level 200 beginning of Wrath of the Lich King Dark Moon trinket.
Yeah, the Dark Moon card greatness was just an unbelievably powerful trinket. I mean, that thing lasted a long time. That one went into almost beyond Ulduar. I mean, I think if you looked at the
Trial
of the Crusader, I think you could still use it there and be effective.
Yeah, I was actually slightly beyond. If you got lucky with drops, there was like two that even heroic level and stuff, because I was doing, at that time, I was doing heroics as well. So I don't think there was too many that weren't available to me. So if you had two specific heroic trinkets, like one from Ulduar and one from Trial, you weren't walking into ICC with your Dark Moon card. But most hunters were walking into the end game for Wrath 3 tiers later with their Dark Moon card, and it was still the best one available to them that had dropped. So I don't think we'll ever see anything quite at that level again, just because Blizzard's gotten really good at balancing things. But it was a lot of fun to have that trinket. I didn't even realize how good it was going to be when I bought it early in the expansion, but it was probably the best purchase I've ever made in WoW.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, even like the Relic of Zuin or whatever that they released for this expansion was good, but, you know, it wasn't anything you were going to hang on to once some of the new trinkets and things started becoming available. So, I mean, it was good for a tier, and then that was it, even if you upgraded it.
Right. And then, of course, I paid untold thousands once Kata hit to get my Dark Moon card, and it wasn't nearly as good. So I used it for all of like a month and a half before there was something better.
Right. That was at the Dark Moon card Hurricane, I think.
Right,
I had that on one of my teams, but not many of them.
Yeah, that was disappointing. So I think we've run through the news. We didn't get any Q&A today.
I don't think any Q&A today. There were no emails yet. I'm sure we'll get some.
Yeah. I mean, I could jump into my email right now and just talk about people that have sent me ideas for the HCERP, but I don't think we want to jump into all of the details of that. However, I've loved all the feedback that I've been getting for that, and you know, the end goal is to, and if we do 7 different articles on you know, 7 different topics and make 100 different recommendations to Blizzard, if 5 of them end up coming to fruition, I'll consider it a triumph, because we're just trying to get some cool things implemented into the game. So I appreciate the feedback. I appreciate the excitement that I've seen from people and the positive feedback I've gotten on the project. So we want to keep going with this. It's going to be done within the month, I think. I'm going to try to push the tempo here so that we can sort of disseminate it prior to BlizzCon. And we'll see what happens. Again, going into this, I realized, you know, maybe we're just sort of spinning our wheels and talking amongst ourselves. But worst case scenario, we have some cool discussions about the hunter class, which isn't a bad thing. And best case scenario, we get, you know, here and there, we get a few cool things implemented in the next expansion.
Yeah, no, it's a great project. I think I encourage everyone to participate and come up with ideas. I really like the next round. I'll have to contribute some things. I think I did a post on that a couple months ago, some ideas for spec differentiation. But I think that's really the one to look at, because I think that's where we are most likely to see changes for the class in coming up for the next expansion is spec differentiation.
Yeah.
And I'll be real interested to see on how they choose to achieve that. You know, there'll probably be some combination of making them unique and also getting rid of the button bloat too. It sounds like something Blizzard wants to do across the board for all of the classes, not just hunters, but I think we probably might suffer from that a little bit more than others.
That's going to be one of the trickier things. I think, honestly, finding unique roles for each spec is the easier of the two challenges. The harder one is going to be eliminating button bloat without baking in so much damage that our rotations are only doing 30% of our damage. So if we just send our pet in, auto shot, and spam something, we're automatically doing 60 to 70% of our damage. I think that's the bigger challenge right now with differentiating the specs. So we're going to tackle both of those things, and I'm going to be listening to feedback. And like I said, worst case scenario, we get to talk about all this stuff a bunch, which is basically what we do anyway. So I'm excited, and I'm glad for all the feedback that I've received.
Well, there was one other thing I thought about that we could mention briefly.
Sure.
Is for the people that want to consider podcasting, basically what they should know about it, because it's not as easy as you think. You actually have to have things to talk about. You have to have a good mic and things like that. And there's lots of little things that you guys have learned over the years of doing this and doing it well. So I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that for a few minutes.
Well, Dark.
that's a good question. So I'm trying to think over the years I've been doing this. Obviously, you have to want to be sort of engaged in like the subject that you're talking about. That sort of goes without saying. Yes, you want to have a decent microphone. Easier because we've used the Google Hangouts and so forth. So, I mean, the setup and the technology's not that problematic. I mean, we struggle with it from time to time, but it's. I mean, when we first started out doing the podcast, we did it over Skype, and we each recorded our own individual audio tracks. So I'd have Audacity running on my machine. Yuri would have it running on his machine, and he'd record his stuff, and I would record my stuff, and then he, and then eventually Fagless would somehow magically combine it all and turn it into the show that you heard. So, we've come a long way since having to do that. Now we just go to Google Hangout. It records everything and tosses it up onto YouTube, at least the raw version, and then so the editing. But you need to dedicate some time to editing it. I could probably spend more time doing that, and if I was wanted to, I could probably learn how to do a better job of that in terms of improving the audio quality and things like that. I generally don't take the time to do that right now because too much else going on. But having some audio editing skills or someone who could do that would be a help.
Yeah, I would definitely. I've used Google Hangouts for other stuff too. It's a great easy service. We bring all of this up, of course, because we've been talking about potentially bringing in people to be semi-regular co-hosts, or you and I aren't going to be around forever either. So it might be something that eventually someone else takes the mantle up. So there's a lot of considerations with this, and I've been, if you go back not too long ago, maybe 150 or so, and listen to my first episode, I was using a real crappy mic, and you could tell. So if you listen to me now on the podcast, I have a podcasting microphone. It's, it is a lot better. And the stuff that you guys do in prep, so you've got the site set up, you've got the chat set up on the huntingpartypodcast.com, you do the Google thing, it's linked to the account. Dark Brew writes up, it's you that writes up the show notes every week, yeah?
Yeah, I do the show notes that we read off of, basically. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing, too, is the research. That's sort of a chunk of time where, you go through some of the various news sites and things, and you look, glance over at the forums and Twitter and things and look for information that things are talking about, and try and find the most, at least for our show, I try and find out what I think is the most, some of the most more relevant topics and news and information and for us to talk about week to week.
Yeah, so there will be another generation of hunter bloggers eventually, and there already has been with, you know, there was BRK and, you know, Yuri and Frost are gone now, and I know there's others in the community that have come and gone as well. So it's good to be aware of all this, because it's more than just, you know, we BS a lot on the show, but if there wasn't that prep work involved, it wouldn't be, if there wasn't some structure to follow it.
Yeah, if we came in here every week with absolutely nothing, with that having thought once about what we might want to talk about, I don't know, it would just, this would have failed a long time ago, when we would still be going today, I'm sure.
It would be a very different kind of podcast.
Although I will say this, some of the shows where there's been like little or no news, and I come in here going, I have no idea what we're going to talk about, have been some of the better shows, and we've actually found things to talk about for, you know, you look at the watch and go, oh my gosh, we've just eaten up an hour, and we're not really done yet, and we started off with really nothing on the table.
Yeah,
to come and talk about. So we usually find a way, which is good.
So yeah, if
co-host chemistry does matter as well.
Oh, it does.
Like Fury and Frost and the Feral Druids and the Hairy Arms.
You know, having a decent voice. I know, and I by no means do I consider myself to have like a radio voice per se, but it helps a little bit, I guess. You know, if you know, since it is all audio, and you know, if you're pleasant to listen to, that makes a big difference too.
It does. There have been some guests that come on the show where I'm like, well, I'm happy they're a guest, but they don't necessarily have the voice for radio. And
no.
Hopefully I have some pleasingly dulcet tones to me.
I think, yeah, you have a good voice. You're good. Kelda was very good when he came on. I was like, oh, okay, wow, yeah, he sounds like, you know.
Yeah, I actually miss Kel. I got to go back and listen to that show.
It was a good show. He was a good guest. We'll get him back on, too, because, you know, he's one of the more active bloggers now and actually does some of the progression rating.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. Dark Ali and I have been talking quite a bit since Yuri leaving. So at the very least, we're going to be trying to bring in quite a few guests in the upcoming weeks and months as we get through BlizzCon, you know, 5.4 and BlizzCon and the expansion notes and things like that. So there'll be a lot to talk about, and we don't want to have to carry the show for the next however long, so it'll be nice to bring in as many people as we can. So please keep sending us recommendations if you know of anyone that either should be on or would like to be on or what have you. And a bunch of people have been clamoring for Ali to talk more.
That's what got me the idea to talk about this. Is one of the hardest things I found is managing to talk when there's two other people already talking. Because you don't want to just like talk over them,
sure,
but you got to wait for a break. And when there's, you got to get in there.
Yeah.
And there is one other very important thing.
Go ahead.
Is you have to have an outro.
Yeah.
Yep, indeed you do. And speaking of which, it's probably time for ours for this week, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So, you have been listening to episode 187 of the Hunting Party Podcast. I'm Arth from the Warcraft Hunters Union.
And I'm Dark Brew from thebrewhall.com and thebrewhall on Twitter.
And I'm Alexander from the Hunting Party Podcast.
All right, check us out on iTunes, YouTube, Stitcher, or add our RSS feed to your reader, and all these links are, of course, will be available in our show notes.
Yep, and if you like us, please don't be shy about leaving us a review on iTunes or YouTube, especially one where you mention how many spore bats you keep stable.
You can submit a title for this week's show by emailing us at huntingpartypodcast@gmail.com and have your name mangled on air by hunters.
Stay thirsty, my friends, and remember to drink your Dark Brew Lager.
For the Horde.
And Nerf Canada.
That was, like, darn near perfect. See?
It was. We need Yuri to go back
leaves,
and do it.
Frost leaves, and all of a sudden the outros are like, we've been doing it for four years. And
well, the hidden benefit of Ali talking more would be that she has less time to mess with our outro lines.
True.
Oh, please. I have 55 minutes to mess with your outro line.
Yeah, you just sit back there and, like, I see all these edits happening. And I'm like, what's going on? You know, sometimes you're just sort of saying, okay, we talked about this, and you sort of edit it out so that we know not to jump back to it, and we can see what we haven't discussed. Like, that's useful to me. But then sometimes I see you down at the bottom, and I'm like, what's she doing?
Well, I'm still waiting for you to mess up and read Arthine.
Yeah. Our time.
One day, I will get you.
I think I read it a week or two ago. I think I actually did that.
So. I think you did once, but it was fun.
Right. I like that we've gone from have your name mangled on air by professionals to have your name mangled on air by hunters pretty much at the same time I started reading the names. So, like, as soon as I took over for Frost, it went from professionals to hunters. But, you know, some subliminal messaging going on there. But
I'm just proud of our class. You know, yeah. You could be a professional druid, and who wants that?
Yeah, so I'd love to be like four drinks in already and jump in on my phone for like 10 minutes from the Renaissance Fair in my hunter costume in a couple weeks. So I think we should have a guest that day so that Dark doesn't have to, you know.
Yeah, that would be fun. That's what, the 5th, I guess, about to, or
yeah,
something like
yeah,
that.
That's in 2 weeks.
I
wouldn't mind pulling someone in next week as well to talk about 5.4 stuff. However, in 2 weeks, definitely, I think we should make that a priority, because otherwise it'll just be you two.
That sounds like a plan.
Okay.
We forgot to mention something very important.
What's that?
It's Brewfest week.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I did. They did forget to mention that. Yes, that's still
that should be the title of the show. Brewfest week, we forgot.
Yeah.
Well, the one holiday event that I'll actually go and participate in and do mm-hmm. a few things here or there. I want to get the Brewfest Kodo. I got the, finally, after all these years, got the remote control, the Dire Brew, whatever remote control that takes you right into BRD. And I've always wanted that and had never gotten it. And I first corn Dire Brew keg thing, I got that. So I was very happy.
I have the Kodo and I have the digger machine thing. I love the digger. I wish it went more places, like to more taverns or something like that. But I'm happy with just doing BRD. I love that place.
Yeah, BRD is neat. I mean, they've changed it, of course, a little bit in Cataclysm, but that was, I mean, if you didn't raid back in Vanilla, that was endgame content. You could just go in there with some folks and just spend an entire evening running through that place, and you might not even, you know, get through it all because it was just so big and there were so many wings and things you could do mm-hmm. in there that was, you know.
Well, you could go in there and you could get lost in there for
right.
way more than a day.
And I'm sure it was terrible, to be honest, for
oh,
some,
yeah.
But there's a nostalgia factor to going back through all that, and I
oh,
experienced
yeah.
that too. And I never actually, I wasn't raiding way back then, so I never did it when it was actual content, but I had been through with people that did, and, you know, just telling stories and stuff. And of course, if I go back through, like, Wrath was probably my biggest one, you know, I would go into Grandpappy Frostheim mode. And
well, no,
stories.
They definitely don't design, you know, dungeons like BRD anymore. In fact, you know, last night I was running 5-man random, you know, Mists of Pandaria heroics with some friends, and it was just five of us, all DPS, were running through these things, and we had no issue. No one died. I mean, these bosses and things, these fights were lasting under 10 seconds. It was
yeah.
it was just insane how much gear and everything we've got now that the 5-man heroic instances you can. Yeah, get five raid geared DPS in there and just you know, get Valor capped in no time
yeah.
at all.
I should probably, there's a couple different sites, and Elitist Jerks actually does a decent job of compiling a lot of achievements of soloing. And it's been a while since I've touched on what hunters have been soloing recently, like what's the hardest content they've been going after. So that might be something good for me to cover.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what they can do now. I mean, certainly I think, I don't know about the Cata raids, that might be too tough. Certainly the Cata 5-man heroics, there's a lot of stuff you can go in there and kill
yeah.
on your own if you're looking to get some of the...
Yeah, I think people were doing that in Cata.
You know, the mounts and things that drop if you're, you know, you feel free to... You should be have no problem going in there and knocking those out on your own.
I still need to go back to Stratholme and get the Baron's Mount. I gave up on it for a while, and I just never went back. But
well,
for a while,
I
was running it every day on all my alts.
Yeah.
I got lucky in that one. I got that one with, like, under 10 tries, I think.
I wasn't in there for that, but I killed him a bunch of times because at some point I thought it was a good idea to build my tier... Oh, God. It was the most gigantic quest chain in the world. It was like tier 1, I want to say. Just like the super early one. It was the ones where like you had to grind them out, but then there was a separate thing to upgrade 4 of the 8. And it was an 8-piece tier thing. So it was either tier 1 or tier 2, and I still have them. I'd have to go back and look in my void storage. But I ran him a bunch of times, and the mount never dropped for me, but I was in there for something else.
That's right. That was like a timed run or something like that. You had to get to him in a certain amount of time in order to do that, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I must have run it a few dozen times, 40, 50, I'd guess.
Warvinny in the chat was saying, where do you get the mounts from, again, from Brewfest? I believe they just come in the keg, so you have that you, when you queue up for him and you get that Brewfest keg, there's a chance for it to drop inside that. I don't think the boss himself drops him. I think he just drops the trinkets. I don't know that he drops the items.
Yeah, Brewfest has always been one of the cooler ones, and there have been some good trinkets in the past too. So
the,
I was used to like stealing her
Brewfest.
Mm-hmm.
She sells the Brewfest pony, so I'm sure the other one sells the keg. So you could probably get it that way, and it's 200 tokens.
Cool. Yeah, but the one thing I was talking about was just the reward you get for doing the Khorne Direbrew boss once a day.
I need to go do that.
It's just a keg, but you open it up and it has goodies inside, and you hope, and that's where the mounts drop from.
Yeah, but I can understand the struggle you were talking about, Ali, with making sure you're heard and getting your voice in there at different times. It can be a little bit tricky. I probably speak over people a little bit too much, but I try to be,
I know I do.
Yeah. Well, we're never expecting you to talk. So when you do, it's like, oh crap, everyone stop talking.
I'm trying.
We all end up talking over each other a little bit because we can't script out everything, and it's hard to have that give and a take otherwise, unless you just want to sit there and be quiet for the most part. So I think when I would be on with, say, when there was three of us, if it was me, some combination of me and one of the two of Frost, Yuri, and Dark, I'd pick out either, if they were talking a bunch, I'd sort of just put in my two cents at the end, or if it was something that touched on my area of expertise a little bit more, I'd make sure that I was heard earlier on and I'd talk a little bit longer. But when there was three of us, I just sort of waited for those silences, so I probably talked a little bit less. Whereas if it's just Dark and I probably say to myself, well, we've got to carry the show a little bit.
Yeah, you end up talking a lot more when there's just two of you, that's for sure.
So I just jump into whatever and say what I'm thinking, even if I'm talking maybe a little bit more than I should be. So that there's no big awkward silences.
Yeah, and that's the point of having three is really good, because it just helps to spread that out, because I know occasionally Dark and I had to do a podcast when Yuri and Frost weren't around and we couldn't get a guest in time. And I could have just sat there and let Dark do like 99% of the talking, but man, I felt really bad, so I had to come up with things to say.
Right. So
yeah,
although Dark's good at that.
Yeah, having just one person, speaking that's rough. Frost had to do a whole show by himself, I think, one time. And
No. He didn't have to. I had a guest all ready to go. And he's like, no, I can do this.
Well, any of us can do it. It's just not nearly as interesting.
It's not, BRK pulled it off when he was blogging and doing a podcast. His podcast was pretty much just him talking. And it was good, and it was entertaining, and that worked, but that's not that easy to do, just to be,
it is
by yourself talking into the nether.
To be interesting and not have that sort of interplay with another opinion, it's a much different talent. So I don't envy BRK's old position of having to do that, because I'm not sure I'd be able to pull it off well.
No, that's a different skill. That's a storytelling skill. That's Grandpappy Frost time territory, where you just talk for 20 minutes about back in my day. And a friend of mine does do storytelling, and so she took me to see some storytelling in action so I'd have something to compare with. And so there was this guy, and he was just at the local university, and he just sat there on a chair, like just a stool, just didn't move the whole night, just sat there and talked for like 3 hours, just telling stories, like, you know, like he might as well have had a beer in his hand down at the bar. It was great, and it's definitely a skill you've got it. I don't have it.
It can be developed. Even compared to when I started on the podcast, I listened to myself in the first couple episodes, and not that I'm perfect now, but there were some tendencies and things that I was doing that I eliminated, as well as improving my equipment so that I just sounded better. But if you went back and listen, I sound more raw in what I'm doing and how I'm even just presenting ideas and the flow of the show. So you get used to it a little bit more, and I'm sure you're used to it more than you realize now because you've been involved for so long.
Yeah, I've been trying to talk a lot more recently, and that does help.
Yeah, we don't mind it. I'm never going to get offended by someone talking over me. Certainly not, you know, God knows I do it enough.
That's another thing, is the personality. If you want to be an abrasive kind of a host, you know, it's a different kind of show. But I think most hunters are pretty good people, so that's not an issue. So.
Yeah, as long as you realize it's going to happen. Like once per episode, I think three of us would try to jump in at the same time or something. It always took like 5 seconds to establish who was going to talk, which you just can't avoid that. But you have to know it's coming and sort of laugh it off when it does.
Shiami, we did discuss that one time, and we did not. We decided not to do it because Yuri was having issues with figuring out how to pipe in people's speaking with us. And also there was the issue of microphones, because he wouldn't let me speak for like 4 months because my microphone was just so bad. And I was like buying a different microphone every other week, trying to find one that would please him. And didn't know what you were going to get. And he just decided, no, we're just not going to do this because we can't tell.
Yeah. Now,
at a time.
Now to follow up on that, though, we do have some regular guests, people that we've spoken to before that we want to line up for the coming weeks and months. And there have also been a couple people that have reached out to us that said, hey, I've done podcasts before. I'm an active hunter. I'd love to join you guys. And so someone like that who's sort of, say, applying for a co-host position, even if we don't end up doing a permanent co-host, we might bring them on for an episode every now and then to have a different voice, you know, just someone from the community who maybe hasn't been on. So I don't know, sort of the rotating listener one would be, there'd be some logistical things to work out there. That would be a little tricky, but we're certainly not averse to having people come on that haven't before. So it's all relatively fluid at this point. And like I said, we've been talking a lot, and we'll continue to do so, and we'll keep you guys updated. So the good news is the show's still happening. We're gonna have some guests on at the very least, so it'll be cool.
Osirian and Kil'jiden, Magdemar, Asgalor, Gruul, Cthunan. Razor Gore, Onyxia to Rognaros. Which one has